Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the first edition of Student Loan Justice Radio. I'm your host, Alan Collins, and this is our first broadcast, so apologies in advance for any babblings and so forth. Let me give you the up and the down of why we exist. First of all, Student Loan Justice was formed in March 2005 to combat the predatory underpinnings of both the federal student loan system and also the private student loan system. Now, a lot of people don't realize that back in the 1970s, Congress took away some of the most standard consumer protections uniquely from student loans. So this includes bankruptcy protections, this includes statutes of limitations, fair debt collection practices, truth in lending laws, even state usury laws were specifically precluded from coverage for student loans, federal student loans. In 2005, essentially all important consumer protections had been removed from federal loans. But the Republicans in Congress managed to also put through a specific exemption for private student loans. So as of 2005, thanks to our nation's Congress, student loans are the most predatory lending instruments in our nation's history. When we first formed Student Loan Justice in March 2005, aggregate student loan debt stood at about $350 or so billion dollars. Now, that was a big number back then, but flash forward 10 years, and today we see that aggregate student loan debt is probably well north of $1.4 trillion, that's with the T, dollars today. Now, what has enabled this massive inflation in the cost of college? Goes back to what I said just a moment ago, the removal of standard consumer protections from the debt instrument has jilted, in fact, it's reversed the good faith of the lending contract. So, in other words, it has become more profitable for the lending system when student loans fall into default rather than remain in good stead. And if you look at years and even decades worth of White House budget data, you see clearly that the federal government has been making, not losing money, on defaulted student loans. Now, just imagine for a minute, if you were starting your own business and somebody comes up to you and offers you a loan to start that business. Now, if you were to discover that the person offering you the loan actually wanted your business to fail because somehow they could make more money out of the deal, would you want to take a loan from that person? Yeah, I don't think so. Well, this is a defining hallmark of a predatory lending system, and the consequences of this have been severe. Currently, there are about 40 million people holding student loan debt in this country, and by my best, most actually conservative estimates, about 20 million of these people are in severe distress about these loans. It's been shown that upwards of 42% of people holding student loans are unable to pay currently. In other words, their loans are either in deferment, forbearance, or default. This is a larger default rate than the subprime home mortgage default rate. It's higher than the default rate for credit cards. It's higher than the default rate for every other type of loan in this nation. And there simply is nothing to compare it to. This is essentially a state-sponsored predatory lending mechanism that is trashing the lives of the citizens. And so that is why we exist. We did a lot of research back in the day, 2004, 2005, and thankfully our research was picked up by people like Bethany McLean at Fortune Magazine. And in May 2006, we and our research were featured top story on an episode of 60 Minutes. And this was an episode I should probably add Sally May, although they were asked to be interviewed for the piece, declined to be interviewed for the piece. So that speaks volumes there, folks. So I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you taking the time out. This is a very complicated issue, and that's probably by design. The student loan system has been essentially designed to whitewash students, and it's only after, sometimes well after graduation, that they learn about this very seedy underside of this lending system. And, I probably should hearken back to our nation's constitution at this point, just for a moment. People need to realize that when our founding fathers wrote the Constitution, they put the creation of a uniform bankruptcy system ahead of things like starting a military, a navy, coining currency. So you can see clearly that the founding fathers understood the importance of bankruptcy protections for the common good. And unfortunately, this has been thwarted by the banking industry in the U.S., and it has been blessed by the federal government vis-a-vis the Department of Education, Congress, and a litany of think tanks here in Washington, D.C., inside the Beltway. These think tanks claim to be looking out for the interests of the students. But in fact, we see that they are looking out for their own institutional interests and the financial interests of their backers, which typically include very well-funded corporations, banks, financial institutions, and the like. And I'll just give you one example. So there's the Center for American Progress. This is a group that was formed quite a few years ago. And they are ostensibly the nation's leading progressive think tank here in the United States. And we see who's who of elected officials on the Democratic side, people like Elizabeth Warren, other elected officials like the former governor of Maryland, Martin O'Malley, Hillary Clinton, and so on and so forth. Essentially taking their marching orders from this so-called progressive organization. Well, it turns out when you look at their higher education policy, they have hired a guy named David Bergeron, who is a longtime director from the Department of Education, to be their thought leader on this issue. And the policy papers that he's written, while they sound quite friendly and they sound like they're quite concerned with the welfare of the students, upon further reading, particularly with regards to bankruptcy protections, it becomes clear that Mr. Bergeron has absolutely no desire or intent of returning standard bankruptcy protections to student loans. It's actually quite clever and crafty, and I urge all of you to Google the Center for American Progress and Bergeron. It's Bergeron, and you can read the white paper for yourself. He says essentially that, oh yes, we want to return bankruptcy protections to student loans, but he qualifies this. He says that student loans that have flexible repayment options and from schools that pass certain tests, like the Gainful Employment Test, which I hope to be able to talk about in future episodes, would be exempt. And that essentially covers all federal student loans currently in existence and likely would cover a majority of private student loans. So under the leadership of these think tanks in Washington, D.C., like the Center for American Progress, we would see no change. We would see a perpetuation of this problem. We would see continued harm, massive harms being done to citizens across the country, and we would see the continued spiral in the price of college. So this is not the sort of thought leadership that our nation's Congress needs to be listening to. Our nation's Congress needs to be listening to the citizens like myself and like many people out there who have looked very carefully as scrupulously at this problem and have come to the obvious conclusions. Now, as I said, our founding fathers mentioned bankruptcy as being a key element of the financial system here in this country, and they weren't wrong. Adam Smith, Milton Friedman, and every economist living or dead would agree that bankruptcy is a key feedback mechanism for any financial system, lending system, that is absolutely necessary to preserve the good faith of the lending contract, keep the price of the commodity being purchased rational, and the student loan example is a clear demonstration of how true that is. And so while I'm picking on the Democrats here in the Center for American Progress, I would say that the Republicans are, quite frankly, far worse. The Republicans who claim to espouse free market principles completely overlook and ignore the student loan system in this regards. I mean, bankruptcy is a fundamental free market mechanism. And as I said, every Western economist, living or dead, and going back to Adam Smith himself, would agree that that bankruptcy protections are absolutely critical. To that list, I would add statutes of limitations, refinancing rights in a free market. Those currently are completely gone for federal student loans. And, while private student loans are bad, don't get me wrong, the interest rate is typically far higher for private loans than federal loans, at least private loans have statutes of limitations. And at least there are some legal hurdles that need to be that need to be jumped over to pursue borrowers with private student loans. With federal student loans, there's no statute of limitations. The federal government can garnish wages without a court order, and the federal government can and its contractors like Sallie Mae and so on and so forth can pursue debtors for the rest of their lives and take their Social Security income, take their disability income, and essentially destroy the financial livelihood of not only the borrowers, but also their families. You know, we have co-signers on a lot of student loan debt, and we have an increasing amount of parents who take out loans on behalf of their children, not knowing that all these standard consumer protections don't exist. So that is why we are here, folks. As I said, we've been around here for 10 years now. We are currently in Washington, D.C., but going back and giving you a rough 30-second sketch of our accomplishments, we've been featured in, as I said, 60 Minutes, Fortune Magazine. We've written pieces or been featured in the New York Times multiple times, the Wall Street Journal, Chicago Tribune, the Los Angeles Times, the Baltimore Sun. We've appeared on CNBC, on MSNBC, on ABC, on CBS, on Al Jazeera, and all the other networks. So we've been around and we've done excellent work. Our argument is extremely strong, and I hope that you will go to www.studentloanjustice.org and see what we're all about, and stay tuned for following shows. Thank you very much.